Welcome to Let Spirit Lead the Way podcast. I'm Laura.
And I'm Loretta.
And we're two soul sisters that came together to deliver this podcast to you. And we're in season two right now, episode three. And season two is all about having conversations with others and how they allow spirit to lead the way in their lives. And we have a very, very special guest today who I'm so excited to see. And this is a special friend of mine. I met her probably a little over a year ago in the Artist's Way course that we were doing together, but I feel like I've known her for lifetimes. And her name is Lucia Evans. She is definitely by far an earth angel. She is a sacred space holder. She works with women and couples and helps them with conflict resolution. And she does this very unique form of massage. So I just wanted to introduce you, Lucia. Thank you so much for being here today. It's so awesome to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. What a great opportunity to play, right, together.
Yes, I love it.
Totally.
So I just wanted to start off by asking you if you could just like explain to us into like a little bit more detail of what you do, because you do so much and you have so much to offer to the world. I would love to hear that about that a little bit more.
Thank you. So what comes to me first is, this whole challenge that I've had as a human being to learn how to feel safe in my body. And I've really struggled with that. So that's been a really interesting journey that has led me to various practices, one being meditation that has helped me get out of my mind and believe a lot of the thoughts that aren't healthy. And also learning how to accept myself and feel safe in my body through the practice of Aikido.
What's Aikido? I've actually never heard of that before.
Aikido, broken down, is the path of harmony. The path, energetic of spirit into form through the practice of the different techniques with different partners. And it's really like a moving meditation. Is you're cultivating awareness and you're learning about energy and how it moves and how to neutralize it. So if someone came towards me either with a verbal attack or a very abrupt, violent, you know, strike, the tendency, what we naturally do is to fight against, you know, to defend ourselves, run away, or to freeze. That's what the brain goes into coping, you know, to keep us safe. But with this new way, it's learning actually how to meet the conflict head on, but not with aggression, with love, with awareness.
Beautiful.
So it's really an act of courage and an act of love is Aikido. And Aikido is also life. So when you take it out of the dojo, off the mat, and bring it to life, in daily living, it's also learning how to meet and confront conflict, but not in a confrontational way that that increases the aggression or the defensiveness, but it actually neutralizes it through the way I'm being. For example, if I'm being open, I'm listening to somebody, and I'm really meeting what needs to be met and acknowledged in a way that is neutralizes the energy, is non-threatening, and then redirect it gently to ultimately so we can both see what's actually happening, the truth of what's happening.
That's so beautiful. And can you tell us how long you've been doing this? And I know there was one big thing that you just accomplished recently with Aikido. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, I started Aikido in 2015. And really, I asked my spirit, what will actually help me learn how to live in this body safely? And that's what the answer came, is you need to practice Aikido. And I forgot what you asked, actually.
Most recently, was an accomplishment you had within Aikido. Could you tell us what that was about that?
Yeah, I started saying when I started, because it's taken me 6 years to actually get my black belt in Aikido. And I also got my teacher certification, which now I'll be teaching a women's class, beginning a women's class in June, starting in June, at the dojo in Del Mar. And that's really super exciting because inside of teaching, I have the opportunity to go back to the beginning and learn the techniques in a whole different way. Mm-hmm. So it's a real initiation, a rite of passage in a way.
Wow, that is so beautiful. And how have you used Aikido as far as in your own personal relationships?
Yeah, it's really powerful. It's a really powerful tool because it's a different way of looking at things. So the tendency in our world, we look at things as good or bad, right or wrong. So with Aikido, it gives us the opportunity to meet what is without a label. We meet what is. And then with an unconditional presence, with this awareness, right, that we all have access to. Awareness is just awareness. There's no good or bad awareness, right? So when you're living from awareness, which is, I think, this is the whole point of this podcast, right, is how to live more with spirit.
Yes.
Is that there's an opportunity to come to a mutual understanding without putting labels on it. There's an opportunity to see what is, see what's so. Because we put meaning to things, right? Mm-hmm. We all do. I do too. And then I make something mean something, and then I create a story around that, and I have emotions about it, and then it creates a whole case for myself around why I should be upset, which ultimately most conflict is innocent misunderstanding.
For sure. I'm curious how, you know, how sometimes when people are triggered, right? Like I get triggered sometimes, and you know, that fight, flight, freeze that you talked about, like it kind of just clicks in. So obviously you're not going to get into the whole entire thing of how it all works, but what's sort of the key aspect that might help? Is it just sort of a pausing and waiting, observing self? Is it that sort of thing, or is it
something more to it? Yeah, but there's a reason why you're triggered. And so if I'm working with people, so I work also with, I bring Aikido off the mat into my transformational coaching with women and couples. Mm-hmm. And the tendency is to actually learn how to navigate our wounds. When we're triggered, there are wounds that really want attention, want love. That part of us wants love, wants to be recognized, wants attention, wants unconditional presence or undivided attention in that moment. And usually it shows up as a younger part of you.
Yeah.
So my question would be, who is the one that is getting triggered, and how old is she in you? Mm-hmm. And what is actually happening? What is she feeling? Why are you feeling that in your body?
Yeah.
What is she really needing from you? What is she needing to hear? What is she needing to say? So you kind of start to slow things down and unpack that trigger.
So in that moment, you would actually do that inner work on yourself in that moment.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And the first step, you said it, was to pause. Because with the pause, that creates space. With space, there's awareness. And then that you can actually see that you are not the trigger, that you are being triggered.
Yeah. I love that. And you touched on this a little bit, which is inner child. And I know you do a ton of inner child work and have helped so many people with that, including myself, because Lucia we were partners in the Artist Way. So in the Artist Way, you get a buddy and you talk to them every day. So we got into some really awesome conversations, and I was just wondering, do you want to touch on inner child work and how important that is?
Yeah, it's a consistent practice. And the main quality that comes to me that is helpful to work with the inner child is compassion. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, we're all working through our stuff, our shadows, you know, some are in our light shadow, some are in the dark shadows. So we don't actually know their shadows. We don't even see them. We don't know what we don't know. And the opportunity of being in any kind of relationship, whether it's with a sister, a parent, you know, a romantic connection, the opportunity is then to have that reflection. So we can actually start seeing what we don't see in ourselves, right? So that's ultimately what I bring to people, as I'm reflecting what I see and helping them navigate, like unpack it, slow it down. Let's go into it a little bit. And like, what does that part need? Usually the part, you know, like parts work.
Yeah.
And so fragments, so we can become more whole and empowered in the way we live, right? That's the ultimate goal, if there is a goal, is to keep working with these parts, to keep working with these wounded inner children so they can actually come out and play and be happy and bring joy and their innocence and awe and wonder and magic, right? That often gets sort of trapped and depressed and oppressed by, you know, a cultural way of thinking how we should act, be, behave, what we should say, what we shouldn't say. And it just gets sort of pushed down over the years.
Totally.
I feel that that's what depression really is. Is our little ones not feeling free to play and be themselves because they've been pushed down. They've been, oh, you can't say this, you can't be that. Now, over a period of time, it's just like, well, they disappear. So the opportunity with this work is to rescue them from hiding or being scared or stuck. So they can bring their beautiful innocence and shiny light, you know, that glimmer in your light, in your eye, when that light behind the eye, it brings so much joy to life. That's important right now.
Yeah, and I found for me doing inner, I've done a lot of inner child work, and I actually do like parts, kind of like parts of what you're talking about, inner child work, that kind of stuff with some of the work that I do. And it's interesting because I found like as the more I've done this work, it's like you free up, like I find I free up spaces of me and energy. And also it's like when I've been in that, like we talked, I think last season about the dark night of the soul, like that just really depressive space. It's like I was totally out of touch with who I was. And I think like what you just spoke to, you know, societal conditioning and all these things we're not allowed to do and not allowed to be. We need to conform, that you kind of lose touch of that. And so when you do that kind of work, whether, you know, it's with a, you know, coach or whether, you know, you need to go to a therapist or whatever, it definitely frees up. Like what you said, it frees up that space of who you are, and you start to realize it's like, oh yeah, that's who I am. That's who that lady is again, that girl or whatever.
Yeah, and then there's more space. There's more space to breathe. The soul isn't feeling suffocated. It feels free to exist in its fullness. That's really where fulfillment comes from.
Yeah.
That's so beautiful. I love, too, how you're a sacred space holder. That was like one of the first things you told me. And when we would talk on the phone, you were just so beautiful at holding the space and always guiding me back to myself and just allowing me to speak and talk without like being cut off, which I wasn't used to, because growing up, people would always talk over me because I speak very calmly and lightly and maybe slow sometimes. So a lot of times people would just like cut me off, and it was so helpful for me personally. Whenever we talk on the phone. So I just wanted to see if you want to speak into that at all about like how you are a sacred space holder and how you've seen people evolve because of that.
Yeah, so the gift of being a sacred space holder, and I humbly, you know, it's not really a role, but that's for the lack of a better word, that's what I can say. Well, it's really a way of being that I've really worked hard at letting go of thinking that I need to be anyone. So it just taps me into the quantum field and the unconditional love of who we are, of who I am. We all have access to this, right? And the opportunity is to be inside of the listening, which you felt. The sacred space is really who is listening and how is this one listening? Because if you notice, like, when you really listen to there's a settling of the energy. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, I really feel gotten in this moment. So the gift of this sacred space holding is really transmuting and transforming things without actually needing to fix anything, to solve anything, to change anything. It just sort of happens on its own. It's a self-organizing field unto itself. So things just start to dissolve, and problems, complaints, venting happens. It just sort of dissolves back into the field. You know, you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, totally. I think that's a key thing in the work that we all do, as, you know, working with intuitive work. I think you have to be able to create a space where someone can come and not feel judged, and not feel like they need to be fixed and saved and rescued. You know, just really honored. Like, I see you. I see all of you. I honor all of you and everything you're showing up with. That's sort of what I hear from it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it empowers, because it empowers us to feel like, oh, I can just be myself no matter how I show up. Like, because we are whole and complete, and we have our humanity that is, you know, that has imperfection. And that's what we get to bring, is our spirit self, a whole and complete presence to those parts that don't feel so whole and complete, and bring that compassion, that love, that honoring that you're saying, that listening, because then it starts to, the conflict starts to dissolve on its own accord when that part feels gotten, feels received, feels heard, feels seen. It feels like, oh, you get me. I don't have to like keep defending myself and putting out this really, you know, kind of attacking energy where this part feels threatened somehow. So yeah, we all have the capacity of holding this space. It's just a matter of who's willing. It's an act of courage, because it really, it's like emptying yourself, right? And empty to feel full, that fullness.
Would you be able to share an example of that? What that might look like in a relationship?
Do you have anything in your life that you are looking to clarify?
I have a teenager.
Tell me about it.
And sometimes, you know, having a teenager is a challenge, right? So I'm just curious, like, what that might look like, you know, if, let's say, I mean, I'd rather it be your life just because you know your own life, but if you had to give an example, how might you manage that? Like, if your teenager was, say, having a rough day and...
Good question. So I'll probably ask you. So I'm always in the moment. I'm with the person in the moment. So I like literally am empty. So I'm trying to think of an example. I'm like, I don't know. So that's why I asked you to help me, because if I was, you know, I would go to them, say, hey, and I'm just noticing you're having a hard day. Is there anything you want to talk to me about, or is there any support I can give you? Or do you just want to be in your own space? So I just sort of do a check-in.
Check-in, yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I was with my mom recently and helped her bring herself back. She was kind of out in the ethers and a little lost. And so sometimes you need to actually have a direct, fierce, firm conversation with someone. It's okay. Not always gentle and doesn't seem loving, but it's coming from love, but it can be, you know, kind of jar people back into like, oh, wow, you know, kind of have been asleep and not really be paying attention. So it just sort of depends on what the moment is being called for.
Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you for sharing that. So it's not necessarily just being mushy and lovey. It can be assertive from a place of love and concern.
It's kind of like liken a spirit to the wind. Sometimes the wind's really gentle. Sometimes the wind's really fierce and the tornadoes, you know, and it's like, whoa, got to get out of here. It's dangerous. And spirits like that's wild. It's free. It's not contained. And it can be really gentle. And it's very unpredictable. You just don't know. But the moment will show us if we can open ourselves to our intuition and inner guidance and inner authority to really listen. moment we come up here, we get ourselves into trouble. But when we go into the gut, into the deeper place of our womb space as women, or even that place deeper in where we move, we actually move a lot in Aikido from that place. That's where our true power is connected to source.
We get belly. Resourced. Is that where you're pointing, or the womb?
Just below your belly button. Okay. Right there. About maybe 3 fingers below your belly button. And that's a really great place. Actually, I took a course online called The Art of Feminine Presence recently with Rachel Jane Grover. She's really amazing. She has a school called The Awakened School. And she teaches people different tools to embody spirit. And one of them was the core vertical core, which we work with. Okay, so this is really cool. A little technique and thing. If you're in your core, vertical core, which is aligning middle of the head, heart, and womb with relationships that are very difficult, then you're aligned. You can't get off center. You know, you come from that place and you create a big bubble of light around you. So you're the center of this big bubble of light. And then you can come in and talk to your son about your teenager. Is it a son, right, boy?
Yep.
Yeah. So you can have these little techniques where you can feel grounded and protected and also open yourself to, okay, how can I be of service to him? What does he need? And he might not know.
Yeah.
At that age, they're just trying to figure everything out.
Yeah. For sure.
So you can just kind of bring empathy and some understanding. So you get connected to his world a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Lucia, I just wanted to ask you one more question. I mentioned earlier you have this very unique form of massage that you do. So I was wondering if you could explain to us, with all of the stuff we already talked about today, how do you incorporate that all into like body work?
It's so fascinating because it's a very intuitive, integrative approach that I do. I mean, I'm trained, traditionally trained in all the different techniques in massage, but over the last 20 years where I've just been refining, it's very fluid. And then there's an energy that comes behind the touch, which is this spirit love that we're talking about here, this spirit, the touch of really the divine, the touch of spirit, where you feel really loved and held and nurtured and safe. So through the touch, through the presence, there's a safety that happens. You know what I mean about that?
For sure.
And so I'm really guided to bring the energy in and down into people, and then just lots of fluid, loving strokes and slowing down a lot of the time. Not everyone needs slowing down, but you know, sometimes people want more energy, but it's very sacred and it's very loving way of approaching the body. Mm. It's kind of like adoring the being through the body.
Mm-hmm. I think that's sense. So beautiful, because a lot of people think massage is just like, oh, my back hurts, I'm going to go get a massage. But it's way more deeper than that, more deeper than maybe they could even realize of like what you're doing when they're on the table. And I just think that's so magnificent that you're able to offer that, you know?
Yeah, I was working with my mom recently and I gave her a 2-hour massage, and her whole face changed. She had color in her cheeks again. She had light behind her eyes. She was relaxed. She was open. I mean, these just are some of the things. I mean, it's not just, okay, I asked her, you know, where in your body are you tight or needing attention? And at the same time, it's way beyond that. It's way beyond that. Like, let's connect to your spirit, to your heart. Let's see how much we can open this so it can allow more love in and love out. Ultimately, at the end of the day, all we want to feel is love, right? Underneath everything, we all just want to feel loved unconditionally for who we are.
Totally. And
so that's what I bring.
I love that so much. And I've had a massage by Lucia, and I can vouch for that, that it was very transformational. So I just love the work that you do. So speaking of that, if somebody did want to work with you in some capacity, how could they reach out to you? What's the best way?
A couple ways. You can go to my website, lucianicolaevans.com, or you can email me at relationshipnavigator@gmail.com.
And how do you spell your website?
LuciaNicolaEvans.com. Lucia Nicola Evans.
Thank you. And I like to pull an Oprah here. And Oprah always asks at the end of her interviews, what do you know for sure? So I wanted to ask you, what do you know for sure?
That when I come to my being, I'm at peace with myself.
Wow. Beautiful. I love that.
And nobody, nothing and nobody can take that away from me.
Totally.
What about you? I want to know what you what your answer to that question is. That's a great question.
Well, thank you for asking. Well, for me, what I know for sure is heaven can exist on earth. And it's all around us if we're open to it.
Nice. Beautiful. And what about you, Loretta?
Oh, don't put me on the spot again. Loretta, this week last time, I'm like, I don't know. I gave some Miss America answer. What do I know for sure? That we can heal ourselves with the right space and the right place.
Yeah.
This feels pretty healing right now, this conversation.
Is there anything else you want to say, Lucia, before we wrap up that you would like the listeners to know? Any messages?
Listeners, don't ever forget how magnificent you truly are. You are magnificent. And I appreciate you listening, and reach out to me if you want to have a conversation about what I do or anything that you might need support around. I know it's been such a lovely conversation with you ladies.
Yes, thank you so much. So thank you so much for taking the time out today. And it's been wonderful talking to you, and many, many blessings to you, Lucia.
Thank you so much.
Blessings and love and peace within.
Yes. And to all our listeners, we will see you next time for episode 4, where we'll have another fun interview conversation for you. So stay tuned.